Hello, this is Jean-François Prince. I am a jazz guitarist, composer. I produce music, not only jazz. I compose also for different styles. And I recently became the director, manager of a record label that I had been the artistic director of for many years. It's called GAM Records.
Yeah, it may be recent, but actually it's three generations of your family that are involved in records and music.
That is correct. It started with my grandfather, who sadly I didn't know because he died very early on. And my grandfather was himself an amateur musician. He did stuff like light opera and things like that, but he had a real love for jazz and a real understanding for that music as an art form. And so he produced a lot of recordings with great bands, local bands. He encouraged a lot of young musicians here and produced stuff for them and organized concerts. And then every once in a while, he would have some famous names that he worked with also. So for instance, he recorded really famous recordings of Django Reinhardt with a big band here in Brussels that was called the Stan Brenders Big Band. And that is linked to all the concert that Django did in the Palais des Beaux-Arts in 1942. That's when they did the recording. And also, he recorded the only recordings that Django did on the violin. Because actually, Django was originally a violinist. And after he had this terrible accident where his hands had burned, he couldn't play the violin anymore. And a friend brought him a guitar at the hospital. And 3 months later, he came out as a jazz guitarist because he had been practicing with jazz records. So my grandfather loved jazz dearly, and my father was always hanging out with him in the studio and everything. He got to shake hands with Django. He was 10 years old in 1942. Sadly, my grandfather passed away in 1948, and my dad was still very young, and he had to start working immediately because shortly before passing on, he was bankrupt, my grandfather, so there was no money left. My father had to start working. He was 16 years old, and he started by working in records firms, making records, putting the matter onto the master and transforming it into a disc, and then carrying the boxes and doing everything, putting the covers on, everything. And he had to work very hard. He did every possible job when he was very young, and then he had to go in the army for a while. And when he came out, he started working in record stores as a salesperson, and then he was the manager of one record store where my mother's father was a customer, who also was a total music aficionado. And that's how he met my mother, because she came and bought some records that my grandfather had ordered. And she started working for the same boss he was working for. So she managed a record for the same boss. Just before I was born, my father changed careers for a lot of different reasons, but my mom continued working in a record store, and then she started her own record store that she owned, which was in Uccle at the Fort Jacquot, called Music Inn, which was really renowned internationally. She was specialized in jazz and classical music. You could go in and sing any kind of melody, and she would recognize it immediately. She would tell you, oh yeah, that's the second movement of Brahms' Third Symphony. And then she would propose 4 or 5 different versions that you could choose from, you know, that was really her passion. But she also had everything else because she loved music. So she was the first store in Belgium to have records by Dire Straits or Pink Floyd or stuff like that, because she loved music as a whole. And she had original traditional music from India, from Africa, from Brazil, everything. And I grew up in that store listening to everything. And that's why I love music as a whole. Jazz is my vocabulary. It's my first love. But I feel comfortable and excited to work with all different kinds of music.
In 1991, so 30 years ago, you took over the record company. I mean, the store or the record company?
My mom recognized that a lot of music and a lot of musicians in Belgium especially that were really high quality was not being documented. It was not being recorded. And she thought it was a pity that some musicians were recording a lot, but some others who should really be heard were not. And so she started to think about doing her own label, which she did, which made sense also because she could propose it to her customers in the store also. But it got much bigger than that, of course. There was distribution and everything. And that was in 1991. But almost automatically, I became the musical director of the label because I had started playing music fairly late. I started to play when I was almost 18. And I thought I couldn't be a professional musician. So I said, what can I do that allows me to stay in the world of music? So I studied to be a sound engineer. I graduated as a sound engineer. And so I had the technical side and the artistic side. Plus, I grew up in her store, so I knew what customers would listen to and what could attract them to something. And so I was kind of a triple threat, if you will. And so she automatically asked me to kind of supervise recordings and produce them somehow, whether I was involved or not as a musician. And when I left Belgium around 1991, actually, I started spending half of my time in New York City for a period of 25 years, during which I also spent the other half of my time in Berlin for 20 of those years. And when I came back to Belgium finally in 2016, I picked up the label and I decided to start it again because it had been dormant for a while.
And so this has a very eclectic catalog.
Right. I mean, originally it was just jazz and classical music until I came in as the director. And I thought there's a lot of other stuff that is really, that should be heard more and that is neither nor and that kind of fits in between or is very different. So, for instance, I was approached by a pianist from France who plays music for documentary films. Very many are underwater. She does stuff for Ushuaia TV and France 3 and such channels, more cultural stuff. And it's kind of like new age music with classical sounds and jazz sounds, but a lot of space, very meditative kind of stuff. And so I thought, well, that fits directly into my Beyond label. And so I started this Beyond category. So I have acoustic music mostly in that category also, but we're not close to using electronics also.
Now, Belgium has always been important for jazz. The saxophone was invented here. Brussels was always a major jazz city. Can you talk a bit about that?
Sure. I think there are several different reasons for that. One of them being that Brussels, Belgium in general, is in the center of Europe and has been invaded by everybody and their cousins for thousands of years. We have influences from everywhere. We are a melting pot here, a little bit like the United States where jazz was created. And we perhaps have a more organic understanding of what it means to come from different backgrounds and try to create a federating language. I also can tell you that the first book that was ever written about jazz in the world was written by a Belgian man. His name was Robert Goffin. And Goffin was somebody who was an extraordinary character. He was a lawyer for lost causes. He was doing a lot of different things, but he had a real passion for jazz. He was a terrible amateur jazz musician, but other than that, he really loved the real stuff. And he was a close friend of Louis Armstrong's. I recently was shown original letters written in green ink by Louis Armstrong to his old pal, Robert Goffin. And so I think Belgium was the first country, even before the US, to realize that jazz was not entertainment, that it was an art form. And to invite musicians to come here, with World War I and then World War II, a lot of American musicians were enrolled to go and fight for liberty, for freedom. And they found themselves, when territories were liberated, they found themselves here. They had a little free time. And so, of course, what did they do? They played music. And people were immediately in love with the freedom that that music represented. It was very important here. And somehow, you know, French people will tell you that French was the first scene in Europe for jazz, but actually, that's not true. Belgium was.
By now, you work with various people like Lee Konecz and Toots Thielemans.
Yeah, I was extremely fortunate to meet and work with a lot of my heroes. I don't know, I must have done something right in a former life or something, you know, because I was very present in the record store with my mom, and I, of course, knew jazz very deeply before I started playing. I had studied those records already. I knew everything that way. A lot of customers were musicians, and I knew the whole cream of the crop of jazz musicians from Belgium and elsewhere used to come and buy records at my mom's store. So I knew a lot of people personally before I started playing music. And when I started, a lot of musicians encouraged me, came to play with me backstage at the store, and some of them started inviting me to different jam sessions. And then one of them introduced me to Toots, who in turn took me under his wing and became my real musical godfather. He was the first mentor I had. And a few years later, through my ex-wife, Judy Niemack, who's a wonderful vocalist, I met one of her mentors, who was Lee Konecz, and he became my second mentor. And we played a lot together and recorded a lot of different things. And I got to realize one of my dreams, which was to have my two mentors work together and play together and record together, which they had never done before. They knew each other for years and years, but they had never worked together.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.